Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service. I tell you what, something really struck me as we were talking about the song that said, "My God is real." Do you realize that's a confession we were making? We were declaring to the whole world, to every power, every principality, everything in the spirit world, in this world, that our God is real. Amen? And the next time you're wondering about that, you've confessed it with your mouth. That means you brought it into being, because the Bible says that what we confess with our mouth will happen in Jesus' name. That's not my message. That just, God brought that to me as we were singing. I wanted to share it with you. So we're going to talk tonight about three more words. Last week we did three words, "It is finished." Tonight it is, "Be not conformed." And that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now when you come to a scripture and you see something like "and" or "because" or "therefore," that's a good hint that you need to back up a little bit and see what happened in the scripture before. It means it's continuing from the one before. So let's back up one and go to Romans 12, 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And we've all heard those before, and usually we take them one at a time. And I also want to jump down one after the verse that we started with, because I think it's good to get scripture in context. Sometimes we grab a scripture and we run with it, and maybe we're missing something out of there if we don't have it in context. So stay with me. And Romans 12, 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith," dealt to every man the measure of faith. But now I want us to put it all together. Never hurts to hear it more than once. Amen? We're going to start at verse 1 and make our way all the way to verse 3. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So the Apostle Paul's writing to the church, he's writing from Corinth to the church at Rome, and he's giving them some guidance on their Christian walk. He's trying to help them out. He's getting ready to go there eventually, and he's kind of trying to get them stirred up and get them prepared. He's dealing with some stuff that he's heard that's going on there. And he's trying to make sure that they understand that in order to serve God and worship him, you have to have your flesh under subjection. That's one of the ways that you serve and worship God is by getting this body, this flesh, this human body that wants to sin under subjection. We have to sacrifice our own desires, our wants, and our intentions so that we can line up with what God has. We have to subject our body to the will of God. And that's not easy sometimes. Amen? I know I struggle with that every once in a while. Because this flesh thinks it's in charge, and I've got to remind it sometimes that it's not, usually several times a day. We're also not supposed to be conformed or aligned to this world. Verse 2 tells us not to be conformed with this world. We have a different standard. We have a different set of expectations from God. We have a different way that we're supposed to live, and it has nothing to do with what's going on in this world. We don't play by this world's rules. We have a higher set of rules that we're to attain to. And we've all been given the measure of faith so that we can do what was in verses 1 and 2, because we can't do that on our own. We don't have the ability to do what God's called us to do by ourselves. We have to have his help. And so the Apostle Paul wanted to make sure they understood, get your flesh under control, don't conform to this world, and oh, by the way, I don't expect you to do it by yourself. You've got faith. You've got the power through faith, and God's given everyone the measure of faith. That means, Anita, you've got the same faith that it takes to do that as the pastor does, as Brother Leonard does, as Sister Florine does, as Brother Dennis does. We've all got that same faith. We've got that same ability to do what God's called us to do. So I want us to focus on that second verse tonight and specifically look at the three words, be not conformed. Because I think we tend to a lot of times preach that as a kind of a sin message. Don't sin because the world sins. Don't act up because the world acts up. And there's more to it than that. It's absolutely true. We shouldn't sin because the world sins, but that's not all that we're talking about there. So I went back and I looked at the Greek word, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but I'm going to try it anyway. The Greek word is sousketizo, and it means to fashion alike, to follow the same pattern, to make oneself in mind and character match another's pattern. The dictionary defines it as being similar in form or type, to agree, to align, to behave according to a particular standard. So when the Bible says be not conformed, it means don't act like this world. Don't look like this world. Don't behave like this world. Don't make yourself like this world, because we're not meant to be that way once we're born again. You know, Sister Frieda picked beautiful songs for my message tonight. She talked about being born again, being a brand new man, being a new creature. And that's the first step if we want to be not conformed to this world, is we've got to step out of this world. We've got to take that supernatural step to move our spirit man out of this world and into God's world. We've got to be reborn in order to be able to not be conformed to this world, because this body and the person we start off as is absolutely conformed to this world. We're very comfortable in this world. Our body likes it. Our flesh loves this world. But it's just a vessel. I'm a spirit that lives in this body, and this body's going to get left behind someday, praise God. So I want to look at Romans 12:2 and a couple other translations also, because I really got some good stuff out of these. The New International Version says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And the New Living says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Same scripture, three different translations that we've heard of it. And in every one of them, what we're being told is, don't pattern yourself after this world. Don't copy what you see around you. We have a pattern. His name's Jesus. That is our pattern. That's where we're supposed to try to be like, is to be like him. We sing a song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. That should be our confession. That's exactly what Romans 12:2 is talking about. Don't be like what you see in this world. Be like what God made you to be. Be like Jesus. Be like the example that he's given us. But there are different ways to be conformed to this world. One is in our confessions and our words. So we should be not conformed in our words and confessions. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, this world loves to gossip. You can always find somebody who will gossip with you. This world loves to talk trash. This world loves to bring people down. This world loves to destroy and tear things apart. And that's easy to find. That's not hard at all. You know, I shared last week that I'm going through a change in my job, and I've got about another week and a half left. And the longer I'm there, the more people want to talk to me about how terrible it is what the company's done to me by laying me off. Had somebody today that for 15 minutes tried to get me to talk trash about the company and say how horrible it was. And it just so happened I'd studied for this message last night, so it was fresh in my mind. I was like, thank you, Lord. But it would have been easy to go there. Because there are times when my flesh goes, you know, this isn't right. I shouldn't be treated this way. But that's not what God said. He said not to think like that, not to be conformed to the way this world wants you to think. Like to glorify problems and situations in this world. This world likes to disrupt and confuse. And that goes contrary to the word of God. Because if we're patterning ourselves after Jesus, we're going to edify, we're going to lift up, we're going to glorify God. We're going to speak the word, and we're going to bring peace instead of disruption and discord. You know, if you watch Jesus, he never said one thing that didn't glorify God. If his mouth opened, it was for the glory of the Father. Every single time. I challenge you to find one place in that Bible where something Jesus said didn't glorify God. Think how wonderful this world would be, how wonderful our walk with the Lord would be if we could get our tongues in that level of control to where everything we said glorified God. You know, I think about when I disagree with my wife, I'm pretty sure things I say don't glorify God in that moment. The apology afterward does generally though, because it's usually something like, "Dear Lord, I'm sorry, help me figure out how to apologize to that beautiful woman." But I tell you what, we're good at that because our flesh is made that way. We want to get into that. And God's saying, work hard at not doing that. Don't conform yourself to this world. You don't have to let your mouth run off like that. He tells me that frequently. You know, Jim, you didn't have to say that. You didn't have to go there. You could have said something better. You could have said something different. You could have lifted somebody up. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't play by its rules. We also should not be conformed in our behaviors. This is the one most of us have heard and we've talked about a lot. But Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's great stuff in between, but skip down to 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." In other words, our behavior should not be conformed to this world. We should be showing the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of this world. Because if you want what the world has for you, you don't need God. You can get all of what the world has for you for free. The devil's more than happy to hand it out to you. He's got places everywhere you can get it. But if you want what God has for us, we have to step out and become separate. We have to be non-conformed to this world. And that's not always easy to do. You know, one of the things that I started thinking about is, what does that mean in real life here in Wichita, Kansas right now, though? And so I got to thinking about it. And one of the things is we handle peer pressure differently than other people do. And, you know, that applies to teenagers, that applies to kids, it also applies to adults. You know, how many times have you been around non-Christian friends who try to talk you into doing some non-Christian things? "Oh, come on, just come down to the bar with us for a while. Have a drink. One drink won't hurt you." I've even heard, "God won't be mad at you for just one drink." And I'm like, my question always is, well, how many does it take to make him mad then? Because I want to make sure I stop just short of that. But we get that. As adults, we get that. You know, and sometimes even worse, you know, just try this. Just do that. It's okay. Be part of the crowd. And it's even worse for our children, especially our teenagers. You know, they're being pulled constantly by their friends who want to try to get them to conform to the way their world works. But Psalm 1:1-2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In other words, don't listen to those people who are around you. Don't be pulled into their mess. Instead, meditate on the word of the Lord, and that solves the problem. See, that's how we become not conformed under those peer pressure situations, is we don't pay attention to them. We pay attention to what God had to say. We also handle disputes, arguments, and the way we get treated by others differently. We treat each other differently, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, and we forgive because we're forgiven. Romans 12:17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And then one of my favorites, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Do you know how good that feels when you realize that you don't have to get into trying to figure out how to get back at somebody? You know, I'll be honest, I got a list of people that I wouldn't mind getting back at right now with this job change. But I've had to sit back and say, "Lord, I'm going to let you do it. I'm not going to worry about it." And it's hard to do some days because, you know, our human mind starts working out plans on how we could get even. Problem is, we never get even. We just end up getting ourselves in more trouble before we're done. But that's one of those ways that we're not to be conformed to this world, because the first thing the world would tell you is you need to get even. Look what they've done to you. Look how they treated you. Look what they said about you. Look what they said about your family. Look what they said about your friends. You need to do something about that, Brother Lee. You can't let them treat you that way. That's what the world would like you to conform to. But you know what? God's got that handled. God's the one who's going to take care of it. It's not our job, because he said not to be conformed to this world, but instead to let him renew our mind. We also demonstrate our integrity differently than others through our actions. See, as children of God, we're called to have a higher level of integrity. It's not just about what Sister so-and-so might see you do. It's not about whether or not they'll see you at the bar. It's not about whether or not they'll hear what you say under your breath. It's about the fact that we do the right thing all the time, because that's what God's called on us to do, whether we think we'll get caught or not, whether we think we're going to get in trouble or not. Proverbs tells us, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Because, see, God understood that if we get into not having integrity, we're going to destroy our lives. So we're called upon to have high integrity. We're called upon to be different than this world and not be conformed to the way this world operates. Because if you listen today to popular culture, the world will tell you, as long as you can get away with it, it's all good. Don't worry about it. We see it on TV. We read it in the newspaper. You know, a lot of times people even talk about things, well, you know, his only problem was he got caught. Well, no, that's not really what God said about it. But the world would like you to buy into that. We're also supposed to give the world an example to conform to. We're supposed to show them a better way. We're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to say, here's what God has done for us. You can be like us and you can have what we have. See, that's the opposite of us conforming to the world, is let's bring the world to conform with us to what God said. Let's bring the world to conform to the Word of God. In Matthew 5 and 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There we are again with that part where if we're just glorifying God, we don't have to worry about the rest of it. Because if what we do glorifies God, we know we're not conformed to this world. We know we're not doing what this world wants us to do. We're also not supposed to be conformed in our faith. See, the world puts faith in false and vain sources. The world puts faith in money, in power, in influence. The world puts their faith in their wallet, in their friends, in their what they have. And all that stuff's going to fade. Influence goes away. Power disappears. Money can be spent or stolen or anything else. It can disappear. You can't count on that. But the world likes to put its faith in that. You know, I'm sure Mr. Trump's a good man, but I guarantee you he's got a lot of faith in his fortune and would be in a lot of trouble if that were to ever disappear. But yet God said for us to put our faith in him. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Straightforward, simple. In the book it's written in red. I wish we could figure out how to get it in red up there because I like it in red. But Jesus was direct. He didn't make any bones about it. He said four words, have faith in God. That's it. Not in God when the money fails. Not in God when the doctor fails. Not in God when your friends fail you. Not in God when you don't know where else to turn. But have faith in God, period. That's an amazing piece of that because the world doesn't get that. The world doesn't understand. It's driving them crazy at work right now. I keep using this as an example, but it's just perfect. I'm driving them insane because they ask me, how are you doing? Well, I'm greatly blessed and highly favored. No, really, how are you doing? I'm good. God's got this. I'm not worried about it. My God's going to provide for me. He said he would, and he's going to. And they can't get their heads around it. It drives them insane, especially my boss. It's driving her crazy, and I'm enjoying it, to be real honest. That's that part where I don't have to get vengeance because God's taking care of it. But, you know, I've had an opportunity to witness to people because of it. I even got to witness to my doctor because of it. He asked, how was I doing? I said, you know, I'm great. And he said, how can you be great if you're losing your job? I said, have you met my Jesus? Let me tell you about him. He said, because I have confidence in him. I don't worry about where the money's coming from or how I'm going to get taken care of because I know that my Father's taking care of me. I know that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I know that nothing this world is going to do is going to take me out of his hands. And so it's taken care of. I don't have to worry about it because I have faith in God. I'm not putting my faith in T-Mobile because they'll fail me. They've proven that. I'm not going to put my faith in the next job either because that's just the way God's getting the provision to me for now. My faith is in God. And that can apply to your job, to your children, to your situations. You know, a lot of times we get excited about a great teacher that our kids have. And so we put a lot of faith in that teacher. And the reality is that teacher's human. That teacher can fail. And if they do, your kids are in trouble. But I put faith in God to bring the right teachers to my children and to put them in the right situations. And it makes all the difference in the world. Now I'm going to get into a little controversial area, so hang with me. We're not supposed to be conformed in our finances. I'm going to let that sit there for a minute. See, the world doesn't understand tithing. The world doesn't understand giving, and the world doesn't understand sowing seed. When we start talking about tithing, the world doesn't want to hear it. Some churches, when we start talking about tithing, they don't want to hear it. But the reality is, if we conform to the world's economic system, we're going to have to live with the result. I don't want to live with the world's economic result. I like my Father's economic system, amen? You know, when we separate ourselves from the economic system, we reap the rewards of a divine system. That the world around us is reaping what goes on in their corrupt system, we're reaping what God has brought for us. And the world says, hold on to your money, hoard it, hang on to it. That's your money. You worked hard for it. Why should you give to the church? Why should you be handing it out to other people? That's yours. You should hang on to every penny that you have. God said it differently. In Luke 6 and 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Wait a minute, stop right there. Do you mean to tell me, Brother Jim, that if I give my money, I'm going to get money somewhere else? Well, that's what Jesus said. If you believed him enough to believe in salvation, believe him when he says how to handle your money too. Amen? Amen. Then it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Uh-oh. Let me try that into modern day English. If you're stingy, they're going to be stingy with you. If you give, they're going to give to you. If you're generous, if you're loving in your giving, that's what you're going to receive back. And I'm not talking some of the stuff that we've heard from some of the prosperity preachers. I believe a lot of that, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. What I'm talking about is a simple biblical truth where God said, don't do it the way the world tells you to do it. Do it the way I said to do it. Conform to my economic system, where when you give, that's when you receive. Now let's go ahead and talk about another favorite topic, and that's people say we're crazy when we sow out of our financial need, or we sow seed to receive. The world says we're crazy. But in Proverbs, it says in chapter 11, verse 24, one person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whosoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I like that in the New International Version. It just lays it out there so clear and so specifically. And then we get to tithing. I love tithing. I think that's one of the best things God ever gave us, was the concept of tithing. But you know what? A lot of people don't get it. And there's a lot of churches that will even tell you it's unbiblical. And they are so wrong, because my Bible says it clear as day. In Malachi chapter 3, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. That's the only place in the Bible that you'll find that God says, test me, try me, see if I'm not telling you the truth. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you a window of heaven, or open the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. See, we're not supposed to be conformed to the rules that govern finances in this world, because they don't apply. They apply if you want to play on that field. I don't want to play on that field. I want to play on God's field, where when I tithe, he has a responsibility, according to his word, to take care of my finances. Where when I give, he has a responsibility to make sure it's returned to me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Good measure. Where when I give freely, I know that I'm going to be taken care of. We don't give to receive. We give because we have a God that we love, that we know is going to take care of us. And when we do that, we see things change, because we're not conformed to the way this world does things. We're also not supposed to see the world the same way that they see it. You know, the world lives in fear. If you look at the news, read the newspaper, everything you see is something scary, something fearful, something that everybody's afraid of. But my Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We're not supposed to be afraid. This mess that goes on around us isn't supposed to make us fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not. He could have stopped right there. It's another one of those direct statements. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, when we look around the world and we see all the stuff that's going on in this world, all the mess that's going on, all the places where people are getting hurt, where things are just going crazy, it's easy in our flesh, if we're conformed to this world, to be afraid of that, to wonder what's going to happen, to be dismayed, to be concerned. But God said, don't do that. Conform to my word. Conform to what I'm telling you to do, and you don't have to worry about that stuff. But how on earth am I supposed to do it? How are we supposed to get there? That's the harder part. You know, it's easy to stand up here and say, well, just go do it. But if you look back at the scripture that we started with, Romans 12:2, God gave us the answer. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we do it. The first thing we have to do is we have to be born again. We have to be with God. We can't conform to him unless we're born again. This flesh that's not born again can't handle it. It can't do what we need to do. But when we're born again, when we give our life to Christ, we take on that ability, that new man. that new man can do it. That new man can conform. That new man's built specifically to conform to the Word of God. That's what that new man's all about. Then we have to start studying the Word. We have to understand what God's telling us. That's how we renew our mind. Day by day, scripture by scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to get in there and start reading it. And I don't mean just read it 10 minutes and pat yourself on the back. Yep, read my Bible today. I'm a good Christian. I'm talking about spend time with the Lord. Read, meditate, pray, talk to the Lord about it. Let Him begin to build it in your spirit. Let Him begin to start to do things that take you outside of this world system. I'm going to talk about you for a minute. You knew I was going there, didn't you? It was before we started coming here, wasn't it? Or is it since then? Either way, my dad had problems with his eyes to the point that he couldn't work. He was seeing double, triple, five times stuff. If he'd try to watch TV, there were five screens. If he'd tried to look at the clock, no clue what time it is. Couldn't drive. He had to let my mother drive him, which was funny to watch because I've seen that maybe half a dozen times in my life. And the doctors kept saying, "We don't know. We can't tell you what's wrong. Something's messed up, but we don't have a clue what's going on. We can't fix this." So he went to specialists, and he went to the eye doctor, and he went to his regular doctor, and they said, "Well, maybe it's a sinus infection. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that." And finally, he got serious with God, and he figured out a way with some glasses and all kinds of stuff that he could focus enough to read his Bible. And that man read that Bible for hours a day, and he talked to God for hours a day, and he meditated for hours a day. Just constantly, every time you'd see him, he was in the Word. Every time you talked to him, he was talking about the Word. Every time you asked him what was going on, he had something from the Word to tell you, to the point that it was annoying, quite frankly. Because I wanted to talk about something else. I love God and I love the Word, but I was ready to hear something else, and he wasn't having it. Because he wasn't going to let go until he got his miracle, until God solved it for him. And what he did by doing that is he built his faith. And he stepped outside of being conformed to what the doctors said. And he stepped outside of being conformed to what the tests said. And he stepped outside of being conformed to what the world said was supposed to happen. Because he was supposed to not be able to see. He was supposed to be poor, miserable, and destitute because he couldn't work. And instead, he's working. His eyes work perfectly. And the doctor had to say, "I have no idea how that got fixed." Amen. Am I telling the truth? That doctor literally said, "I don't know how that happened." I believe she even said something about God, didn't she? She said, "He was healed." Those were her words. "Your eyes are healed." She didn't say, "We fixed it." She didn't say, "Medical science did it." She said, "Your eyes are healed." She didn't know how. She couldn't tell us how it happened. I know how it happened. My God took care of it because He dug in, and he stepped outside of being conformed to what the world had to say about him. Because the world said it wasn't going to work. The world said we can't even figure out what's wrong, let alone fix it. But because he got in and he renewed his mind. See, that's the thing. It was the renewing of his mind constantly. What was annoying us and making us go, "Man, can you talk about something else?" was what his mind needed. He needed to get all the doubt out. He needed to get all the mess of this world out. All the things he'd heard. All the things he'd read. Because, you know, he's human. The first thing he did is he got on the internet and looked at WebMD and everything else and saw all the horrible things that could be wrong with him. Just stay off of there. It doesn't help anything. If you want to know what's wrong and what needs to happen, right here's your WebMD. Get hold of this, and that will give you the answer that you need. And you see, I can stand in faith and believe for healing because I've seen what God will do. When you renew your mind and you get serious with God and you step out of this world's mess and you step into the way He operates, I've seen it firsthand. You know, the other thing we talked about last week is that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid our debt. And we talked about if somebody tried to come and collect a debt from you that you'd already paid, you'd get out your canceled check and show it to him and say, no, that debt's paid. And that this is your canceled check. Amen? Amen. If you want to renew your mind, start going through your canceled checks. Take a look and see what God's done for you. Take a look and see what's been bought for you at Calvary. Take a look and see what God said about you. Take a look and see how God describes you, how God talks about you. That will renew your mind. So if nothing else, get out your stack of canceled checks and start counting up the cost. Start counting up what God's done for you. Start looking at what He said and what He's done. And all of a sudden, you'll have the same confidence that you'd have with that bill collector who calls and says, "Hey, you owe the money." You'd say, "Oh, no, I have the canceled check. You can hang up the phone now." That's what we've got to do. So I'm going to close with this. And I think I told you last week, I'm not generally a huge fan of the Message Bible, but every once in a while when I'm studying and I'm researching, I'll go there just to get a different perspective. And I did that this evening, right before we came, in fact. God said, go take a look. So I went and took a look, and I actually printed it out so I could read it to you, because I think it just sums everything up so nicely. And even though it's a translation, it's still God's word, and I can't sum it up better than he did. So it says, so here's what I want you to do. It's Romans 12:1-2. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and I'd add in seeing with your eyes life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So I want you to think about that. When you're renewing your mind, when you're looking at what God has to say, when you're counting those canceled checks, God's building maturity. He's building you up. He's strengthening you. He's getting you ready. He's making it to where you can be not conformed to this world, because we all need that. Because I have yet to figure out how to be not conformed to this world without God's help. And I don't think it's possible. Only he can take us out of this mess and put us into his great place that he wants us in. Amen. Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.